I think the, you know, as we look forward and hey, welcome back everyone. Another episode of Happy Zen.
Hello.
Adam and Matt here, and we were talking about like getting this episode started. And actually, I think the easiest way to look at this and the concept behind it is that as we start beginning to build the profiles of Zennials that we want to talk and share and introduce you to, we started wrapping our heads around actually influencers to us. And you know, there was one pretty big one, I think, in a lot of realm that, you know, maybe, and sometimes we almost kind of forget a little bit how big of an influence this guy has had on us up until, you know, we get back in the conversation of why we even start this podcast. And it's someone that is, you know, it's pretty bloody well raw. I almost want to say unhinged, but just quite frankly, themselves and bloody well genuine all the way through in everything they do. And that is one of the biggest resonators has always been, right? And, you know, we started getting together with the concept of putting a podcast together. One of the things you shared with me is like, well, why don't we just do what Kevin Smith does? And you know what? He has a scenario where he just gets together to film up, to do a podcast so he can, you know, connect, you know, not just with an audience, but he actually connects with his friends. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what an awesome idea, right? And like, there it is again. There's Kevin Smith once again influencing us in another way.
Yes. So as we've said several times, Kevin Smith, huge influence on both of us. So what Adam was talking about, well, if you don't know who Kevin Smith is...
What? You fucking... Come on.
I would imagine most people that listen to this do know who he is, but writer, director, essentially an indie director at first.
All-around badass.
Yeah. Podcaster, author, I don't know.
Kick-ass dad.
Speaker.
Yeah.
He's basically a comic book writer. Basically does whatever he finds entertaining.
Everything
at this point.
Everything I wish I was. No, wait.
Yeah. He'd love that.
No, I'm kidding. But I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, the guy totally gets to and not gets, because it's not free. I mean, obviously, he's a pure individual who's put the hard work in and definitely has taken advantage of anything that comes in front of him. He's definitely... I would say capitalize, but he's done the best he can with it and left his own mark on it. And that always seems to emulate pretty clearly too, because when he puts that complete natural touch on it, that he leaves his fingerprints on it, it also tends to leave it with a legacy.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we can work backwards from this, but basically, as you were saying, like he started, he's obviously podcasting, like we said, and he started his podcasting basically at a time where one of his best friends, which was his producer for most of his films, when he's, you know, first five or six films, Scott Mosier, they were best friends, but they kind of had started to deviate. Scott was producing other projects that Kevin wasn't doing, or Kevin was doing other stuff. So they wanted an excuse to be able to get together, hang out, and on a regular schedule, basically. And they enjoyed each other's company. They were cracking each other up all the time, and they decided that, you know, this podcast thing was relatively new. I think really the only one that was around that was somewhat big at the time was probably Nerdist, I think, maybe.
Yeah. Probably Rogan. I feel like Rogan's been around forever.
Yeah, I don't know for sure, but...
He's got over 1,000 episodes.
Yeah.
So
they started the Smodcast podcast, so...
Yep.
S for Smith, M for Mosier, Smodcast. So, and it was just basically an excuse for them to get together and chat, which kind of sort of was part of the reason that we did this.
Yeah. 100%. It was a great excuse to regulate a schedule, because it's like as you get older, the things that you used to get together and do, it starts changing. And so then you're trying to look for that connective piece, right? And this was easy, fun. To be honest with you.
And, you know, there was always the excuse before, like, I wasn't living here, and then I moved here, and we still had to, like, really work get together, which made no sense because we literally live...
Four minutes apart.
Yeah, right around the corner from each other. So we had sort of the same idea. We would get together, do the podcast. Now, that's not the only podcast he does. He's got several podcasts on the go, a whole podcast network. He has, you were mentioning earlier, he's got one with Jason Mewes. Jay and Silent Bob Get Old.
I love that one. I really do. I was listening to it, and I was cracking up pretty bloody hard. It's, I mean, I had the expectations it was going to be funny, but, mm-hmm. Oh, fuck.
Well, and much like Smodcast had a purpose at the beginning, and somewhat still does, the reason he started that podcast was because at the time, Jason Mewes was a drug addict. And he was becoming sober. And this was Kevin's way of checking in on Jason Mewes on a regular basis.
And it goes right back to, like I said, what we were talking about the previous episode is like when people do things for genuine nature, mm-hmm. right? When they do it because they truly give a shit about something or somebody else, it just resonates. Mm-hmm. It really does. Like, I didn't know that backstory to that podcast. And yet that one has taken over as like my favorite one I'm listening to on the road right now.
Yeah.
And it's... I didn't know that at all. Like, fuck.
And I guess what we should have mentioned also with Smodcast, which is kind of funny, the things that have come out of it. I mean, whether you like the movies or not, I mean, two of his films have come out of that Smodcast podcast. One was Tusk, which was a story they read from a England or UK newspaper about a guy that had this house opening. But as part of living there, you had to dress up as a walrus for a certain period of time. So that they talked about that on the podcast, and that led into the film. And then Yoga Hosers, which was sort of an offshoot of that, as well as his love of Canada. And, you know, they talk a lot about Canada on that podcast. They talk a lot about...
Oh, the very first episode I ever listened of, it wasn't Smodcast, it was one of the other ones he's mm-hmm. got going on. It was some of the guys from the Comic Book Men.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. They were talking about a news article in Calgary where a guy punched out a mountain lion at a Tim Hortons.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they were able to relate. And you're right. The Love of Canada is just awesome. It was so funny. And I was just dying because it's such a stupid Canadian thing. And it was great. It was just great how they pieced it together.
I mean, and then...
So good.
He's got that. He's got Hollywood Babylon. He's got... they did the Tell 'Em Steve Dave podcast, which was the guys from the comic book shop, which that... essentially evolved into Comic Book Men on AMC. So, I mean, he's really went from one podcast with just him and his friend to, you know, expand. Not that we are expecting anything remotely like that, but it's definitely something to look at and be like, you know, it can be done. Granted, he had celebrity status to begin with.
I look at it as like this guy just continues to influence us. Mm-hmm. Like some of our absolute favorite movies where we probably... quoted so annoyingly,
mm-hmm.
but absolutely favorite videos and movies that we watched that we compared everything else to and constantly went, well, that's shit, and went back to his stuff
mm-hmm.
continually.
Yeah.
And, you know, quite frankly, I mean, I think the world realizes that Ben Affleck became famous because of Mallrats.
Oh, absolutely.
And, well, if not, I believe that.
Sure.
Anyways. And,
well, I mean, if not... Maybe not that movie specifically, but for us probably, but you know, certainly.
I think depending who you ask, people will say that movie specifically.
He was in, what, 3-4 Kevin Smith movies, like, that were relatively mainstream. Chasing Amy was a big one, and then Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back and Dogma. And so, I mean, certainly that was definitely a career boost for him.
But I have to say, like, we were talking about this, and I have to throw it out there for those. If you haven't engaged in this stuff, or maybe you have and just didn't realize it was Kevin Smith, but honest to goodness, if you haven't fucking done it, and you're listening to this podcast, and whether you're new to knowing us or new to knowing the podcast, please go out and watch Mallrats, at least. Because if we have any sense of humor that you're picking up on, it's probably generated from Kevin Smith's stuff. A good chunk of it, for sure. Because, I mean, that definitely was connecting to us huge.
Mm-hmm.
But go listen. Go watch Mallrats. I consider that his gateway drug into his world. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe someone else could advise him a better gateway piece in there. But, I mean, honestly, Mallrats is the gateway in. I think it did everything so, so well. Absolutely love Jason Lee in that movie. It still probably goes down to history as one of my absolute favorite movie characters. By far.
I think definitely, I would suspect for our audience, Mallrats is the one in. I was thinking back when we were going to talk about this, what my first Kevin Smith movie was, and I think it was Dogma, and I didn't know it was a Kevin Smith movie.
As an entry? That would be hard.
Yeah, but I didn't know. I, you know, really, I watched him like, oh, I knew Michael Landis is in this movie, and at the time,
like, Canadian again.
Exactly. And then, you know, like, these, I know these Jay and Silent Bob characters, but I didn't know really anything about them. I didn't know the whole shared universe thing. It was all, so I didn't really piece that together, but I, you know, rented that with my girlfriend at the time, and
because there were actually celebrities in that one.
Yeah, Chris Rock and Salma Hayek and Will Ferrell wasn't Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. But yeah, there was a lot in that one.
Alan Rickman.
Rickman, yeah. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
But then Mallrats was definitely the second one, and I know I watched it after Dogma because when that same girlfriend broke up with me, and I was all bummed out and depressed and wah, and I couldn't sleep, and I was up late at night, CBC during... couldn't tell you what summer this was, but for whatever reason, they were running movies late, like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I caught Mallrats on CBC.
Yeah, that would be the time that Canadian television would play that movie.
And I remember seeing it, I'm like, what the hell is this? And all I knew was, I'm like, well, I know that Jay and Silent Bob characters are in it again. Mm-hmm. So that's when I went on the internet and looked it up, and then I rented it, because I didn't even know the title, because I started catching it about, you know, halfway through. And I rented it, and I remember seeing it and being like, oh my god, this movie talks about comic books, it talks about superheroes, it talks about, you know, it has like adult humor, and it was all stuff like, you gotta remember at the time, there was no movies talking about comic books, there's no movies talking about superheroes, this is 95.
Not only talking about it, but actually talking about it as if we were talking about it. Like, it was totally relatable to the conversations you and I or anyone else would have about comic books.
Yeah, and it
was so funny because that connection, again, it was real. It wasn't...
They weren't making fun of those characters. No, that was just how they were. No. And same with, you know, like, you know, video games and stuff and the priorities that, you know, these guys had. It was perfect. I remember after seeing it going to school and being like, you guys, everyone has got to see this movie. And people renting it, like friends and that renting it. And then, yeah, like you said, it was so quotable. You'd be talking about, you know, different quotes from the movie.
I still find when I talk about that Jay and Silent Bob, you know, and talk about Mallrats, for example, a lot of people, you don't think they've watched it or they don't resonate. And then you have a conversation like, oh yeah, I've seen this. And more people have seen it than you realize.
Yeah.
And then also people heads up their asses. I've realized that they watch it and they don't think it's funny. And I'm like, oh, well, your clear head's clearly up your ass. Cause you just got to let go a little bit, enjoy it.
I mean, I remember to the point where I was buying chocolate covered pretzels.
Yes, you were.
I was drinking Coke out of Dixie cups. Like you said, that Brody character, Jason Lee in that movie was like everybody that was in our sort of group of friends that were in that stuff, that was who they wanted to be. Like, that was, he was awesome. And he didn't give a shit about anybody else.
No,
like the best part. I mean, he basically lost his girlfriend because he was too busy playing NHL 93. But I mean, you know, Hartford the Whale.
I love that part. That was so great. You know, I look back to, like, at a time like in 94, 95, right? Like, that's when that was coming out. You know, the movies out there there were some good movies. Like, I mean, let's be fair, I'm just pulling up right now. Like, you're talking about things like The Usual Suspects, Heat, Seven, Braveheart. Okay, this is big stuff. But then the stuff that was trying to be funny, fucking Clueless. Like, I'm not a fan.
It wasn't for us.
When I think about some of the stuff that was out there trying to be funny, it was almost like it was trying to mm-hmm. be funny, right? And that was the one thing that I always appreciated from watching anything related to Kevin Smith was he just, they put something together they enjoyed,
mm-hmm.
and either you were going to like it or you didn't. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't they tried to make something for you. It was almost like you could tell they made it for them,
yeah.
Which reminded me of like the early Saturday Night Live stuff where it was like, we're making this because this is how we want to make it.
Crack each other up.
You're either going to like it or you're not. Or early SCTV.
Mm-hmm.
This is just our shit, and it got popular, and that's where it went, right? So I still have tons of like, I still have paid tons of homage to Eugene Levy, and I will watch him on anything because of that originality, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I same thing with Kevin, is like, what he's done and where he goes with everything, it's like, you hold on to that because it's so authentic. And it's so, I mean, maybe now we start to see a little bit more of this authentic nature of things coming out in Hollywood and media and what have you, because people need to find a way to do that, because that seems to be the new trend, and that people don't want to put up with bullshit. But this guy was doing it like in a time when people were totally happy taking the bullshit.
Yeah.
Totally happy buying into the bullshit. And he was able to do that and be successful. So,
well, I mean, you can't stress enough that this was a time when nerd culture was not the mainstream. I mean, we 95, what was the, I mean, there hadn't been a comic book movie, like, not even, I don't know, had Blade even come out yet?
No, I'm going through this and looking at this day, and, like, there was definitely some good movies during that period of time. So. Yeah.
Well, and unfortunately for him, Mallrats tanked, so, I mean, clearly...
Movies we have referenced, like Hackers.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a super accurate film. But I remember, like, the first DVD I bought, like when DVD was brand new, what was Mallrats, and it was...
It's ranked on 53rd of the most popular feature film released in 1995 on IMDb.
Well, there you go. And I think a lot of that came after, like, ahead home of, video release,
ahead
probably.
Ahead of First Night.
Oh, jeez. That's not...
And A Little Princess. And Bridges of Madison County. Holy shit.
There you go.
And, Dangerous Minds. Yeah, Coolio. He kicked ass.
That's right.
So... You know, but he did. They did lose out, according to this database, to Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. The movie was the 52nd most famous movie that year. That's bullshit. I call bullshit on that. Mallrats had them beat hands
down.
That's
stiff competition.
No. Quick and the Dead. I understand that probably had some serious following behind that with Sharon Stone and everything. But Mighty Morphin fucking Power Rangers, the movie, which sucked horribly,
wow,
on every level. I'm sorry, it did. And I am actually a little bit offended at Mallrats.
Shots fired.
Against what? Saban Entertainment?
Yeah.
I'm fucking
eat that.
Good. I'm good.
And we're done.
I will go to bat for Kevin Smith over fucking Saban Entertainment any day of the week.
I don't know if you ever
or
watched.
Saban or whatever the hell it's called.
The
he kicked the shit out of the net. Anyways.
Oh, the sorry. Net. The DVD commentary for Mallrats is kind of crazy because it might be the only one I remember where there's actually picture-in-picture video where you get to see them at a table doing the commentary.
Right.
That commentary track is legendary because it is Kevin Smith, Jason Mewes, Ben Affleck, Jason Lee. It might just be them, I think. But, like, this is a Ben Affleck that is not the one we have now. This is a guy who is just ripping people. He's just cursing and swearing. He doesn't give a shit about anything.
He probably still is that guy, let's be fair, but Hollywood, like,
yeah,
he's probably handcuffed in some way, shape, or form, right? Like, look what Hollywood does. It's a bunch of shit.
I've listened to a lot of DVD commentary, and every one I compare to that specific one because it is my favorite one altogether. I've never seen a bunch of guys rip their own movie, their own performances. Specifically, they bag on Ben Affleck like crazy. And, you know, but they also, the whole time, they're just like, yeah, it's a pretty good movie. It's a pretty good movie. Like, they're trying to, you know, keep themselves afloat on that. But it was awesome. So, yeah, definitely was my first DVD that I bought. So, was that your first Kevin Smith movie?
First Kevin Smith movie I watched was that, yes. Yeah. And then, so that actually leads into a conversation I was going to have with you. So, if we're going to recommend anything to our listeners here, if Mallrats is the gateway, and we can agree on that, that would be, if we had someone who hadn't watched anything that he had done.
Yeah.
Right? So, we can agree that Mallrats is the entry point. Like, that's the one we should sit down and watch first. Because if they're going to hook, they're going to hook on that one most likely, right? What's the next one? Because I think this is pretty debatable where you go next.
The movie that tonally is as close to that as possible is probably Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. The only problem with that movie is 100% an in-joke. Everything in that movie, you kind of need to have seen four other movies to get.
Yeah.
Or at least three of the other movies to kind of get what's going on. The problem for us, I know when we went to watch Clerks, it was such a hit to us because it was black and white, which as a teenager, like, you're just gear out. It's hard to focus on that. And it was completely unknowns, essentially, to us. I don't know. Like, maybe Dogma? I mean, Dogma's got some heavy stuff, but I think maybe that might be the next one.
I'm going Chasing Amy. And the reason I'm going Chasing Amy, and I'm pretty hard set on this one, is the dialogue in Chasing Amy is right up there with Clerks, in my opinion. I still love Clerks' dialogue so much. But Chasing Amy's dialogue is, again, really sharp. Mm-hmm. It's good, right? For the people that still need that little bit of an extra sell in it, you still got Affleck in there, right? So
and Jason Lee still.
Yeah, Jason Lee's timeless. But the what I'm getting at is you can tag in, you know, that connection there for the people that from today, like we're talking to someone in this day and age, right? They'll draw into that a little bit more. The dialogue is very rich. It's very, very well done in that one. I love it. There is lots of layers to it. And then I think that's a nice setup to get them to do Clerks.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they're not that kind of person who's getting into the context of what he's delivering, you got to go the other route. Then I think you go the dogma Jane, Silent Bob Strike Back route, where you get a little more of the physical slapstick element, the inside joke pieces that people laugh at, even though sometimes they don't even fucking get it.
Yeah,
you got to look at the person watching too, though. I don't think there's a black and white approach that you can say to somebody, here's the list.
Yeah,
I do think it depends on the person.
Well, and Chasing Amy, much like Clerks, they're both very much in indie films, whereas Mallrats was a mainstream Universal release. So. Yeah, like I think if you dig onto like the dialogue of Chasing Amy and you're into that, but I think Chasing Amy, there's more going on in that movie than Clerks, because Clerks mostly takes place in one location. So like, yeah, if you're into the writing and all that sort of thing, Clerks would be the way to go. If you want more of the slapsticky stuff, maybe, or the visual stuff, then Dogma and then Jansson.
Or the fucking outrageous stuff. Because that's kind of where that went, right? Like it was priceless. And but the other thing too is like it maybe if you're talking to somebody who has like an appreciation for, you know, the growth of something, you might be able to get them to start with Clerks if you explain the background and how they started with virtually nothing.
Yeah.
Right. And did this basically with a handheld camera and the way he did it. And
well, this is a movie that he maxed out credit cards to pay for.
Exactly. So if there's people that appreciate that.
Mm.
So you can almost get them to say, well, why don't you watch the progression?
Right.
Watch through they released. And that there's because you and I, we've watched these so many times that we have done that. We took a break and then went back and started all over again from start to finish, follow the progression. And there is so much value watching it that way, too. It was really cool to watch that evolution. And with the evolution, it's where I think for me that I really connect and love is that as we watch the progression of it, it never got full of itself. Like his writing, his all of it. And even the people that, you know, took part in the films with him, you know, the cast that participated, you can tell there was almost a level of friendship. It came through. You could see it. And that you pick up on that. And I think that is, again, another piece that separated it from the stuff that was, like, it's not like a bunch of shit in movies put out in the 90s. There was some nice content. Mm-hmm. I just realized he did better than Desperado.
Well, I mean, and like you said, he put in a lot of his friends and family and that sort of thing. And you get people that maybe look different. Well, I mean, really, Clerks was a mix of a casting call and friends and family. Like, there's a lot of people in there that are just friends of his, and some of them that they cast.
Do you remember how stoked we were with Clerks 2?
Oh, yeah. I forgot all about Clerks 2.
I mean, but how stoked we were when we knew that was coming
along.
Yeah. And then how absolutely wonderful and outrageous that was. But it was just a wonderful, wonderful, I'm taking this to the next step, and this is where I'm going with it.
Yeah.
It was so
I thought good. it was quite a good send-off, and it actually wraps around. Like, if you've seen Clerks and Clerks 2, Clerks 2 basically ends back at Clerks 1. By the end of it, it's essentially they've made no progress. They've wrapped around completely.
Just the whole, I'll never forget that conversation with Randall and the Porch Monkeys. That was so, that dialogue just... That was dialogue that even at that point in time you rewound and listened to again because you could not believe that just came across the screen. And then the way it was delivered, it was just good.
He could be so completely oblivious about how wrong he is and not have any idea, like
love
just
it.
Completely
yeah. Love it. And the whole cast in there, like there's such a rich piece. That film made me really appreciate Rosario Dawson. Big time.
I think
it really did. It made me realize, like, you know what? That chick is awesome. Like, just awesome.
I can't think that I saw her in much before that, but certainly after it, I'd be like, oh, she's from that. And I remember.
I actually remember going out of my way, and, like, when you saw other films that had her in it, it's like I instantly gave it more, you know, street cred to watch it because I'm like, she's quality, right?
Yeah.
And, like, to see, like, how she had in her genuine fun in that movie was a really cool element that was in that movie. And so that for me, was just another thing. I like Jason Lee. Like, I'll hunt down anything Jason Lee's in. I'll watch it.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't matter. I'll watch it, no matter what. Because it's just, even if he can't... I've watched Alvin and the Chipmunks many, many times. Not only because of my children.
Got kids.
But I actually, because I enjoy Jason Lee in it, and I'm thinking, you know...
good for you to get something mainstream.
Just like throwing some quarters at him. You're like, you deserve this.
Don't remember. Don't forget. I remember where you started, and I understand you really are a cool fucking actor. Yeah. So don't worry. I'm not holding this against you. And thank you for doing this for my children.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it.
I mean, so, the other thing that's crazy, too, I mean, before the whole Marvel shared universe stuff, this is a guy, like, I can't even think of another franchise, if you will, that, like, his movies are, other than two characters, really don't have, thematically, aren't necessarily the same, but he's connected six movies in this shared universe, much like the Marvel shared universe, if you will. Like, it's a place where characters pop up in different movies and referencing things that happen in other movies. And there's, you know, graphic novels tying them together and stuff. Like,
hold on a second.
Generated this before it ever even came out.
And those pieces that connect is a fat guy in a trench coat and a wildly foul-mouthed, like, tyrant. Yeah. Like, that's it. That's the connective pieces.
Yeah.
They're the most memorable characters who probably have minimal screen time. Yeah. They don't advance the plot in any way, shape, or form. They are crucial at some point in time. And then there's the typical Silent Bob words of wisdom kind of mentality. Sure. I loved it. I loved that recipe, and he never changed it through all of them. And that was the best part, because you knew it was coming, but it didn't change it.
Well, and it's funny, because his reference point to the whole shared universe thing is, in fact, comics, because he's a huge comic book fan. Mm-hmm. So he essentially took what Marvel does and what DC does and did it before they ever did, but in film.
In essence, so then Marvel copied what he did to make it successful in film, right?
Yeah, he's friends with Stan Lee, I'm sure. Oh, that's not how that works. Never mind.
It doesn't matter. It's pretty cool.
Mallrats had Stan Lee in it.
Yes, it's true.
And I'd say young, but, you know, he's still old then.
Well, young then.
Younger.
Yeah, fair enough.
But, I mean, this is a guy that a lot of firsts. I mean, the first website that I ever went to where I saw a Hollywood celebrity of some sort, in this case a film director, respond to questions, to comments on a message board. This is before, you know, really before MySpace, any of that stuff. He was on there. They had a bulletin board system. You could ask questions. He could respond. He would post updates on what movies were coming that he was working on, where he was, the different stages of the movie. It was this behind the scenes access that you never really had before. And again, before social media. So he was kind of starting that kind of thing way early. And he continues on, like, social media now. He's always, pretty much everything he's working on, he's showing people on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all that sort of thing. Well, and talking about on his podcast.
I keep telling my kids, like, you guys got to get into the Flash and the Arrow stuff way more. Because I'm trying to slowly, you know, introduce them to Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the bridge, you know, as they get older, when I can actually let them watch the other stuff he's done. But, you know, get into that world. My kids love comics. You know, it's great. Two little girls that love comics, and I'm tying in. And I'm not the world's biggest DC fan. Mm-hmm. I'm the first to admit it. But, you know, the work he's doing there, and again, that's coming back to some of the higher rated stuff, and the more popular stuff is the work he's doing with Arrow and the Flash. So my kids are huge Supergirl fans, and now I'm bridging them over into that as well, right? So I love it. I love it. It just seems to be, we can think back, like with this podcast, you know, as we sometimes take our trips down memory lane and that kind of stuff. It's always coming out. Like, we've had these conversations. He resonates. He's there. It's there. His work is there. It's. I'm starting to think that because it came out during our teenage years, I really do think this is going to be a bit of a generational legacy for us. It's going to be a thing, like, even when we're 50 and 60, we're still going to be talking about the stuff he has done.
Yeah.
And we'll still be watching that stuff and probably dig up some old copy of fucking Clerks or Mallrats and toss it in, have a laugh, and still recognize that probably some of the best stuff we have ever watched, and we'll hold on to it like people held on to fucking MASH and shit.
Yeah, maybe. And, you know, besides the films and the TV directing, like you're saying, and
well, you've done more. Like, first of all, we did plan a road trip to the Quick Stop in Jersey. I never fell through with that. However, I feel like, did you not?
No, I didn't. I didn't realize how far New Jersey was from here. You start getting Google Maps and you're like, oh, that's not gonna happen. But yeah, no, I remember totally wanting to plan that out and go into the Quick Stop because it is there.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen. I guess the next closest.
It's okay, it makes us less creepy by not doing it.
But, you know, like, how many people do you think have a photo just leaning up against the front of that store? Like,
I know, fuck, now that I think about that, I kind of wish. Yeah,
But the other thing, you're like, what else am I doing in Jersey? Like, is that a far drive for just that? But, you know, I'd like to do it maybe one day. But the next closest thing to that probably would be seeing him live, which is something he started doing early 2000s, I think.
Right.
I think he started doing college stuff, and then he started doing the Evening with Kevin Smith. And they recorded the first one on DVD, and then he toured. And he did the second one. He did that in Toronto, and I was there for that. And I'm not on the DVD, but... and since then, he has toured constantly, if not with his podcast, just doing his own stuff. And I think he does Comic-Con just about every year now. And he gets the big hall, Hall H. But the things that come out of, like... those live things. Well, he loves Wayne Gretzky, like diehard Wayne Gretzky. He loves the Wayne Gretzky story. He loves Wayne's dad. He loves all that stuff. Loves Canada.
Everyone loves Wayne's dad.
Yeah. But like you were saying, he's very, his message almost every time is, well, specifically for podcasts for a long time, he was just do it. Everybody, he just told everybody, just go do a podcast. There's nobody stopping you. It's not the radio. You don't have to get licensed. You don't have to get, you know, super special equipment. Anybody can do it. Go and do it. Now his message is more, you know, if there's anything you want to do, go out and do it. Yeah. He's never been a naysayer. He's always been, you know, go for it. Whatever you want to do, try it. And at worst case, it doesn't work. But if it, you know, picks up a little bit, why not? He's definitely a why not person as to a why person.
Yeah. Well, and that, you know, it's funny. The other episode, we were just talking about that, like the whole concept of optimism and just, you know, having a little more positive, how can I put it, a positive take or a positive influence on everything that we're, you know, coming across or running into, or the case may be, right? And again, there is another influence, like as we carried that conversation on off air or off podcast, is that, you know, we again come back once again to Mr. Kevin Smith and some of those influences he has. It's almost like, and it's neat too, because it's not like where he's got this influence on us to a level where I'm running around with my hat on backwards and a hockey jersey all the time, like his status, you know, his image that he carries with himself. Mm-hmm. Which is just probably out of fucking comfort, because that would be very comfortable to wear every day. But, you know, it's I think more of a subconscious level stuff that as you start really resonating and thinking about it, is that he has had a lot of impact in a lot of different ways. And like I've said to you a few times, is like, I can still hear in my head, you know, some of the lines and cliches that, I shouldn't call them cliches, some of the lines and shit that have come across over the years from the films we've watched that, you know, just really, but like, does it fucking matter? Like, mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of undertone in there. Like, does it really fucking matter? Like, just stop getting hung up on so much shit. Mm-hmm. Like, stop worrying. Like, I mean, Mallrats, in essence, there's so much of that movie. It's just like, stop getting hung up on so much shit. It really is irrelevant. And a story aimed towards teenagers, that's a great message, done with some humor. So hopefully some people pick it up. Unfortunately, most people are a little too thick to get that. And even myself, probably, it's as I've gotten older, I'm starting to recognize how important that message is and how easy that message is actually to fall through with. So,
yeah, I mean, definitely, I think for influences, there's been a lot of things that have come out of it. I mean, for a while... And I think I've realized now as I get older, it's not so much that I want to be in film, but maybe just that I have a love of it and you know, everything about it. But certainly for a while, his message kind of resonated. Like, I started thinking, well, maybe I can write. So I would try writing some scripts and things like that. I read a lot of his scripts when I was supposed to be working. A lot of the times I'd be reading scripts and visualizing, you know, from the movie. I think at one time I actually recorded audio from Mallrats and just played it in my car while I drove around, which was kind of bizarre.
That's getting a little bizarre, yeah.
But yeah, like definitely this podcast is something that
it's directly influenced.
I think if we hadn't had some of that, certainly, I mean, there's a barrier that would have been there, I think, normally wasn't there for us because we saw other people do it, and he kind of gave that, like, you can do it, anybody can do it, just go ahead and try it. He's certainly also a person that, and this goes along a little bit with the last episode, he has, you know, zero fear of what people think of his interests, his nerdy interests and that sort of thing. You know, be proud of it, wear, you know, be into what you want. I mean, this is a guy who records himself watching trailers and has cried on many occasions watching, you know, I think the Thor Ragnarok trailer, the Star Wars trailer. Like, he doesn't care. Like, who cares? Like you said, like, just do what you want. How are you any worse off, you know, if you're into Star Wars or comic books than anybody else? It's not affecting anybody, so just do it if you want to do it.
Oh, God, enjoy it.
And, you know, and he's also one to say, you know, like, just to put stuff out there. Like, be creative. Put content out. Don't just take it. You know, put your own stuff out. Whether it's even something small like, you know, things on Instagram or social media, to creating, you know, writing, doing podcasts, doing videos, all that stuff. So he's definitely somebody that, as far as I've ever seen, has only ever been positive and go do it. And I mean, I can't think of a time where I've seen him just shit on somebody or things or anything like that. Like, even on like the Hollywood Babylon podcast, where they talk about a lot of Hollywood news, his co-host will sometimes be like, you know, talk about a reboot or something, like, oh, I don't know. But he always seems to be for it. Like, you know, oh, I can see how this could work and whatever. He's always, you know, the positive side of things. So definitely those are the big things I would get away, you know, influences I would take from that for sure.
Sorry, I'm hearing you. I'm just flipping through his Instagram. I love it. And there it is, you know, not that long ago, there's a picture of him at Quick Stop Groceries.
Yep.
I love it. And so, yeah, it still does exist. So, yeah. No, it's, I don't know. It's been fun to be able to reflect back now a little bit on this. And, you know, like I said, one of the coolest parts is that him being an influencer, it wasn't like a crazy obsession influencer, like where we've talked about him forever. Like, this is probably the most conversation you and I have shared about Kevin Smith.
But just yet, been there all the time.
It's exactly there. Like, he's just penetrated into our fucking skulls and has been there the entire time. And it's all right that it's been there, because it's probably done more good than we realize. And I think about sometimes I try to share my water off a duck's back attitude, like with the kids and stuff and my wife, and just, you know, give them that sense of just have your own confidence and your own inner peace and just fucking own who you are. And a lot of that has come from, you know, now, definitely the sarcasm and shit that would come with that as well sometimes is a little heavy.
Yeah. Well, you know, some specific characters from his films, maybe like Randall and, you know, Brody and that kind of thing, definitely have that snarky sarcasm.
But look at attitude. Today. But hey. Look at today. Like, here we are 20 years later, and that's pretty common.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people have that little bit of unfiltered edge to them a little bit. You know, they're not...
Yeah, I certainly think the dialogue in his films back then was a lot edgier than maybe it is now.
Oh, huge. I mean, definitely. Today, it wouldn't stand out the way it did then. Then, holy shit. It was huge. I talked to you about Clueless.
Yeah.
Like, Clueless was programmed. It was you knew exactly where this was going to go.
Yeah.
I get it was trendy at the time and what have you, but it wasn't surprising. You could have written it on the back of a napkin very simply and pretty much had that recipe figured out.
Whereas Clerks had like discussions about, you know, was it unionized members that were building the Death Star and like, you know, how well were they paid and how obviously many were killed. Well,
we talked about that, right? Yeah. So, you know, they left a fucking hole that can blow the damn thing up. Like, it wasn't that...
Why did it take so long to build that thing? I don't understand. And then the second one was built like... we won't even... That's a story for another time.
I've come from construction, I'll tell you right now. When you build something the first time, it takes longer than the second time. Because you do know what you're doing the second time.
Yeah, I guess they did build the exact same Death Star.
But I gotta know, and I would love to know the plans, was when they built the second Death Star, did they still have that stupid porthole left?
I want to know why the Empire can only build Death Stars, because even in Force Awakens, it's essentially another Death Star, just bigger.
Well, listen, they just decided that, fuck it, we're going to go big enough that a porthole isn't going to do it. But in essence, the exact same thing is what blows it up. Again, another thing that I kind of had a problem with Force Awakens was like...
Let me tell you.
I get you're mimicking the original trilogy, but do you have to go so close to script? Like, just...
Spoiler alert. I thought if I saw another Death Star in Last Jedi, I was going to just stand up and walk out of there. And you know what? I almost did, because let's just say it's almost, it's kind of there, miniaturized, but it's there.
Yeah, we haven't gone into that yet, like the fact that we've both watched Last Jedi, and we quite haven't given our opinions on that just yet.
Hey, don't we have aren't we focused on one topic here? What are you talking about?
Focus, like that's the most focus we've had yet on fucking anything. So
that's true.
To be honest, right?
It's true.
Listen, we honestly, sincerely, almost want to throw a thanks out to Kevin Smith, and if you haven't indulge yourself in any of the stuff he's done, you probably are actually watching stuff that he has done. You don't even realize it when I talk about the
a lot of TV stuff now. Yeah. Flash. I think he's done all of them now. Oh, wait, maybe he hasn't done Green Arrow.
He's done Supergirl.
Definitely Supergirl. Definitely Flash.
Yeah.
Maybe Green Arrow. Don't know for sure.
Let's just give him credit for it anyway.
Sure, Green Arrow.
But
the best episode.
So those, you know, honestly, he's doing stuff around you you're not even recognizing. You might even
Goldberg's.
Watch...
He's done episodes of The Goldbergs.
So exactly. So if
he's
you,
all over the place.
If you go back and look, and there's movies you probably even watched as well. You probably watched some of his stuff, and you didn't even realize it. You know what? Do yourself a favor. In this day and age, where it's so easy to come across everything, go look this stuff up. Go watch it, and have a laugh. Enjoy it. Drop your inhibitions. Just fucking enjoy it. Right? In some cases, drop your expectations. Like just enjoy. And you know what? Thank us for it later. And you know, give us a follow or whatever the case may be, because you are going to be grateful that you did it.
I mean, definitely the first, it's six, right? I think that's where he's at now. The first six movies are essentially interconnected, and you know, if you like one of them, you owe it to yourself to watch the rest of them, because you'll get at least something out of every one of them. Not to say anything, you know, bad about the other movies he's done. I they're just completely different. Like Red State is a really good like thriller. I haven't seen Tusk because I'm kind of terrified. Not that it's going to be bad, but I'm not really into what looks like body horror. It's not really my bag. And I haven't seen Yoga Hosers yet, although I do know it's supposed to be aimed at children, but hey.
That could be me. And there's Canadiana in that one quite a bit.
Huge. I believe the main characters are both supposed to be Canadian.
Yeah, and the new one, what is it? Kilroy's Here. Or Kilroy Was Here. That's the new one he's filming.
Yeah, that. I actually just listened to his latest podcast. That's it's like a anthology, like Creepshow. Like it's going to be four shorts, I think, that are all tied together.
That's cool.
Speaking again of the positive and giving back thing, he's doing that. I'm going to forget the name of the school. It doesn't matter. It's a school in Florida, Sarasota, I think.
Okay.
Like a film school, art school. And they bring in like a somebody from Hollywood to help. So he's going down there. 70% of the crew is students or alumni.
Right.
And he's offered his time to help them with that. So, again, he's not going to make very much money. He's probably not much money at all for that. But he's helping out all these kids that are going to get to work and see a proper behind-the-scenes setup of a film. So again, I thought that was kind of cool that he's going out of his way. I guess the program they've done him, they've done I think Justin Long, which is how he got into it, because he's friends with Justin Long. Oh my god, I forgot Zach and Miri Make a Porno. Oh my god, that's another great movie. Not connected to those first six movies, but this humor is almost right in there. That movie is, I forgot all about that.
That is such a great movie.
That movie, again, most of his movies, you'll look them up, they didn't necessarily do good in the theaters, but they are huge on like DVD and rental and that sort of thing. They're all
and the worth seeing. The replayability, if it's even a fucking word, the replayability is fantastic. You can just put it back in anytime, watch it,
yeah,
and enjoy it and laugh. And you know what, the repetition of some of those jokes doesn't wear thin. You can enjoy it and still laugh just as hard the thousands times.
The cast in that movie, he's got like Seth Rogen, Elizabeth Banks, Craig Robinson, and you know, Muse is in that one too. And
again, actors and actresses, like, okay, I know Seth Rogen got to be huge and everything, and he was pretty big at the time. But Elizabeth Banks, there's another one that doesn't get... Maybe she does. Maybe I'm missing the mark. Maybe she does get more credit, but she is fucking hysterical. I love her, right?
I think she kind of went under the radar for a while, but now she was in the Hunger Games, I think, so that probably blew her up big. And then
But if I remember correctly, I'm double checking right now, I think Elizabeth Banks had writing credits or producing credits for Pitch Perfect.
Oh, she directed the second one.
That's yeah, and
I know that. I think the first one too. She might be a producer on those as well.
And again, those are great. I love those. I actually really do love those movies because...
I haven't seen them. I can't speak.
No?
No, I haven't seen any.
They're actually really good.
I did see her in the Power Rangers movie.
And Anna Kendrick... Oh, let's not go there. Anna Kendrick just kicks ass, too. So that combination of Anna Kendrick with the direction coming from Elizabeth Banks, it's really good.
Did you really see the new Power Rangers movie?
Listen, I said we're not going to go there.
Did you see it?
Fucking right, I saw it.
All right, so I want to know.
Yeah. Hence my hate for even the 95 version. Wow. So.
Bold statement.
Oh, I was so let down. I don't know why I had expectations.
Yeah, I don't know what your expectations were. Because mine were matched. Exactly what I was expecting, I got.
Oh, you saw it?
Oh, yeah, I saw it.
Oh, okay. Well, I was like trying to hide that I saw it.
No, I totally saw it.
To a different degree. But, yeah, Power Rangers, what was that all about?
Money?
Yeah, I guess so. It's pretty much
pretty
that.
Much it. That's all it ever
is. Pretty much that easy, isn't it? Yeah. That's so disappointing. So
yes, Kevin Smith sees movies.
Yeah, give it a shot.
You know what? Not even just his movies. He's got 3 or 4 books. He's a good writer because he wrote a lot of his movies. So his books are worth reading. There's some really interesting stories. I'm not going to remember which book it's in, but I think maybe the second book he wrote has a lot of good... I think the second one was the one that was all diary entries, and it has a lot of interesting stuff about Jason Mewes, because Jason Mewes, he's clean now, and he's been clean for, I think, I want to say 5 or 6 years. But he was rough. Like, I don't think he has any of his own teeth anymore. Like, I think he was hardcore into drugs. And there's a lot of good stories about, you know, Kevin finding him in, like, bad situations and help him out. And, again, I could be wrong. Tomorrow, you know, we could record this and tomorrow something bad comes out. But I've never heard anything bad about the guy. Every person that sees him in public, he's willing to take a photo with you. Like, he's been super great.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's be fair. He's one of the genuine ones out there. So, and that's the beauty of it.
Well, and I think he knows where he came from, and he's appreciative of the fans. Like,
he's always got stories about his family and his upbringing and stuff too. Like, he doesn't lose connection to that at all. And I mean, yeah. That hits home with me quite a bit, because mm-hmm. as much as it's nice to do anything and try to push yourself out there a little bit, you don't want to lose that connection from home. So that one for me, watching him still have that complete love affair with his family, and that's always on display. Love it. I love it.
There was he told a story, I don't know what it was, but so his dad passed away, I can't remember how many years ago it's been now, but his dad was sick near the end, and he had this photo when he was a kid being at the Grand Ole Opry, and it was him and his dad and his mom and maybe his sister, I can't remember who else, and they were on stage. And his dad loved that photo. So when his dad was sick, Kevin flew them all down there, and they went for a show, and they were able to go up on the stage, and they got his dad. I think maybe his dad was in a wheelchair at the time. They got him up on the stage and took another photo. So I was like, just like stuff like that. Like, I don't hear anything bad. And I felt really shitty for him, because, of course, if you look at those movies that he did, they were all Miramax movies. And unfortunately, due to the circumstances with the Weinstein company, Miramax and Harvey Weinstein and all that, you know, he sort of only briefly got clumped into that. And, you know, he talked about it briefly, but you could tell he was just like, you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. And he said, and I have no way of proving that he's going to do this or not, but he claims that every bit of residuals that he gets from those movies from now on is going to be donated.
Like, he's going to... I believe it.
I have no reason not to believe it, but I mean, that's the kind of thing that, like, he feels shitty about it. I mean, this is a guy that came up in the 90s with, you know, Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez. These were the powerhouse guys at Miramax. And unfortunately, now he's kind of got that, you know, tarnished reputation because of the Miramax thing. But him turning that something shitty into something positive is pretty cool. Now, he jokes, you know, there'd be no... won't be any residuals for my movies because nobody watches them, but, you know, that's crock of shit. But yeah, I don't know. I just thought that was kind of cool, just as the most recent story with that stuff happening, that he was able to at least put a positive spin, or at least do something to help out the situation. So
that goes back to exactly what we were, again, recouping back to that whole optimism piece and the positivity and doing something for somebody else instead of your fucking self. Like, again, I know we've had lots of influences over our lives and from different spectrums and that, but this is, you know, he's been a big one. He's been a very, very consistent one all the way through. And it's been one that you've always followed. You've always kept in touch to. You've always been aware of. You've always been, you know, it's there. The rest of them, like, I can probably pick through other influencers in life that have had, you know, moments to shape you, I guess you'd say, but
he's probably the only one of the few that I would say was consistent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as he evolved and his art and his medium evolved, you know, that evolution came with it too. So I don't know, that's pretty cool.
But I think, like, we talked about how turning a negative into a positive. The only time I ever saw something really, you know, when he got kind of down on things, like with the whole Hollywood thing for a while there, when he was doing Red State, and he said, you know what, forget it. So he doesn't sell the movie to a distributor. He says, I'll just take this movie and I'll go cross country with it and I'll show it myself and then I'll distribute it myself. So again, he took, you know, crappy situation and he just spun on his own. Now, he thought it was going to be career suicide, but it didn't turn out that way. It's kind of the reason he got into the podcasting, because he kind of stopped doing stuff after that for a while. But again, there's another example of a guy taking, you know, shitty situation and just making it his own and doing what he can with
it. Yeah, but not caving into everything else, right? Like, just doing it his way. And putting himself out there his way and not letting anybody else fucking do anything to it, like shape it or change it or control it.
It's essentially self-distribution, which, you know, he was kind of ahead of the curve, because there's more of that happening now.
Tons of that now.
Especially with the internet, you know, you can basically put your stuff right up online.
Well, like, people get fucking famous from YouTube now.
Yeah.
Like, there is a list now of famous YouTube celebrities. I can't even call them YouTube celebrities, but, like, personally, but it is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is a thing you can aspire to, and you put the hard work. And listen, I'm not ragging on YouTube celebrities. Just for me, the connective thing to it is I just can't bloody well relate to that's a celebrity.
Well, and a lot of times they're essentially called influencers, because,
well, they make you like them.
Well, they make you like product, because a lot of them will I don't want to
fuck that. I have not bought anything from anybody I've watched on YouTube yet.
Well, then they're not working for you. But there are people that literally, that's their job, is like the whole Kardashians.
Don't say it. Don't fuck it. We're done.
That's it. But yeah, but to me,
that makes me want to rip my eyeballs out. It drives me absolutely insane. It's the death of society. Sorry, there's a rant for you.
But that's an influencer. But I, like, Kevin Smith is an influencer. That's the influence that I would rather have.
There's an influence. Yeah, of course, I'd rather have the Kevin Smith influence. And at least the one saving grace I've gotten, the Kardashian influencer, is that as much as there are people that are probably getting dumber by watching it or listening to it, there is a cohort that's identifying to how ridiculous it is, and they're going, oh my God, I cannot live my life that way. So I'm glad there's at least that element a little bit. Whereas, at least with the Kevin Smith stuff, it's, no one's going to be like, oh my God, I've never lived my life that way. They laugh at it because secretly they are playing Genesis and playing hockey instead of, like, paying attention to their girlfriend in the morning, which they happen to be up all night doing. So,
which, by the way, you should come over, because I've got NHL 94 for Genesis.
You don't stand a fucking chance.
No, I don't. It'll be bad. I've got 97 too, but we don't want that new. We want 94. Yeah. If I had 93, we'd do that.
Wrap around.
Oh, man.
Instant goal every time.
Little deep button.
That's why I kind of laughed at. Was you playing that? And I'm thinking to myself, every time I still watch that movie, I'm like, Brody, just wrap around, man. That's it. You win that game. Wrap around. Done. Like, that was such a default in that game, right? And meanwhile, that bothered me that they didn't.
That's the criticism we have of that movie.
That's it. Like, all I had to do was get the wrap around. The game was fucking over. That's all that goal ever had to be. It was such a piss off when it was worked so easily. The goaltender got stuck on the post every time. Made no sense. What an awesome glitch.
That's artificial intelligence.
That wasn't
intelligent. That's basically where it should stop. All right. Well, look, I think we've said pretty much all we need to say about Kevin Smith, but, you know, maybe we'll do this again for somebody else.
You know what? There are definitely other influencers, but I mean, when it comes down to the top of the pile and the ones that probably had the biggest role, and in particular to this podcast, right?
Well, that's the more we talk about it, the more it's like checking off different parts of our life that he matches up with, and how his tone and how he handles things and you know, the attitude, I think, matches up as, like, it's such a good thing to strive for.
At this point, like, we're on the whole celebration piece of it all. I just hope, like, an hour from now, I'm not thinking about this again and starting to go, oh my God, like, this is so depressing. Like, this guy had this much influence on me. I don't think that'll be the case, but I'm just saying it out loud.
Now, there are a lot worse people that we we could be thinking that.
I'm struggling.
Don't.
Nope, I'm not struggling anymore. That's a whole other podcast. Yes. Yeah, fair enough.
All right, so maybe if you have some comments or stories or anything, maybe about Kevin Smith, or maybe how you got into him, or maybe after hearing this, you've watched some of the movies and you want to comment, hit us up on Twitter or Facebook or
any of those stuff.
Happy Zen Podcast, let us know, and I guess until next time.
Yeah, if you watch the films, let us know what was your if you have a different entryway into Kevin Smith, or you had one, let us know. I'd be curious to see that, because I still stand firm on the Mallrats thing. So I'd be very surprised if someone tells me there's a different entry point. So, and if you tell me Clerks 2 or Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back, that means you have not fucking watched the original stuff first, and you're full of shit. So move on.
They could be younger, I guess, right? No. Working on backwards?
I'm not going to give them that.
All right.
Sorry.
Adam's getting testy. We should get out of here.
All right.
Until next time. Bye.